You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
Hour number three of the Sports Hangover. We're live at Shipley's Donuts in Old Metairie, 2561 Metairie Road, a store that opened up on April 10th. One of the owners, Scott Walker. Yes, that's Scott Walker. No, not the governor, but the other Scott Walker. You know what I'm talking about. We'll touch base with him here in a quick bit. Kind of go down memory lane since he's no longer TV anchor. No, he's kind of helping people stay out of trouble on social media, including your New Orleans Pelicans. We'll touch on that here in a little bit as well. A couple of top stories if you're just joining us here in hour number three to speak of. Defensive end Alex Okafor goes down with a leg injury at practice today. No, Sean Payton didn't touch on it. Several various reports on Twitter just said that it was a leg injury. Got quiet in the indoor facility. Players on one knee praying around him. I saw another report, though, from WWL Radio, the Saints, flagship station, say that he didn't need a cart. It was the only one that I could see that or found that reported, did he need a cart, did he not? No one saying what part of the leg they were addressing. So Sean Payton doesn't like injuries being reported. So if you're wondering why so vague of a report, it's probably so the reporter can get back in and cover more practices. So we'll find out at some point in time what happened there. They did see Marcus Davenport back at practice as he slowly works his way back in from a groin injury. And also Cameron Meredith, who not only practiced but also stayed after practice to work with quarterback Drew Brees as we get closer to the start of the season and Friday's second preseason game against the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll touch a little bit more on that coming up this hour. And also LSU losing two quarterbacks officially. Will Narcisse yesterday tweets that he's gone. Justin McMillan also tweeting today that he is gone. So only two scholarship quarterbacks, Joe Burrow, Miles Brennan as well there right now. And again, it really probably is just those two quarterbacks to begin with. Again, as we said, we're at Shipley's Donuts, 2561 Metairie Road. Four. Off the bench with Jody Collard and T-Bob Hebert will be here from 7 to 9 right on this bench, this very bench, to do the show. And I can only imagine the traffic, Mr. Scott Walker, one of the owners here at Shipley Donuts. It is in the morning. Is it that busy? It's a little busy?
We get busy in the morning. right? Summer was a little bit different here on Metairie Road because people go out of town. Everybody's heading to the beach. And summer, traditionally, in New Orleans, the restaurant industry is slow anyway. Yeah. And we were, I think, a little bit higher volume than some restaurants around here, but still slowed down during the summer. So today was the first day of school for the schools around here, St. Catherine and St. Francis, the ones that are immediately in this area. So we saw a little bit of an uptick this morning, and we usually get that 3:30 after school crowd that we've missed a little bit over the summer. So it'd be nice to see our students back in.
You're doing really well so far in our segment because we're hoping that Jordan will become a distraction when he starts to snore and drool come out, because a nap is coming. All right, we've had a bear claw, right?
Yeah, I had to leave for a little while. Have you been just eating since
that's
I left?
All that he's been doing. Now, I've been really good.
Sample everything.
Okay, Erin from French Riviera, who can attest I do work out, she lives down the street. And I'm like, we're here if you want to come try one of these Boudin kolaches that are just delicious.
Yeah, try
and
everything.
She came in, she's like, how many? I chocolate iced in the kolache.
You have free reign today.
I know, which is terrible, but look how good I'm doing. I could get any donut in there. I've only gotten two. Well, is a kolache a donut? No, it's different.
No, it's
a kolache.
It's baked. It's not fried, so it's healthy.
I asked you when we talked earlier, how would you describe it? Not pig in the blanket, not a stuffed donut, not anything of that nature, but the Boudin kolache, unique to Louisiana.
Yeah, the Shipley Lake location in Lake Charles also does a Boudin kolache. I'm not aware of any in Houston that do that, so it is unique to what we do here in Louisiana. I'm not sure Houston would really enjoy a Boudin.
It's legit Boudin, too.
So they might enjoy it, but they're not as familiar with it as we are. And it is. It comes from Lafayette, right around, I forget exactly where we get it from Lafayette, but it's trucked in from a company outside of, near Lafayette or right outside of Lafayette. Mm-hmm. I'll check that for you.
Yeah, no, but it
but
is.
But it's legit. It's legit Boudin.
No, when you taste it, it's legit Boudin, and it's what you think. It's Boudin, but in a nice warm.
Yeah, a nice warm blanket.
Yeah, it is. It's good. I don't feel as guilty if I tell the trainer, go ahead and try one as well.
Whatever makes you feel good.
Then I won't feel as bad tomorrow when I go to the gym.
Whatever makes you feel good.
Scott, obviously, you're doing a little donuts. We're going to talk a little bit about your company as well. But you were at WDSU for 9 years. It was funny because I'm known you for Brother Martin.
Uh-huh.
Southern Miss, when we had the greatest, by the way, Jordan, I almost had a name. You said fire and ice. I just.
I don't know who'd be fire and who'd be ice.
What about perfection? I mean, that's the only way I can really look at it. It's
one moment in time.
Moment in time. I mean, that's, you know, kind of, it really was.
There's a song for that.
Scott Walker, quarterback, Gus Cattingale, receiver. You hit me deep, a fly route. I caught it. We made history. We won that game. We never played again on the same field.
Was that your one career reception for Fire and Real Team?
I was a two-time intramural champion at Southern Miss.
No, I mean on our team.
Yeah,
on that
for my team, the Sox.
Yeah.
But maybe the fairy tale, because it never happened.
It happened.
It did happen.
There were witnesses.
See, you don't have to believe me, but he's trustworthy.
There were people who saw this other than the two of us.
Yeah, he's a business owner, Emmy winner, right?
Two-time
Emmy winner. I mean, he's trustworthy. Me? I would make it up. Him? You tend to believe.
I don't know. You might have brainwashed him.
This is real news here today.
It's real news, exactly. Look, but you started in sports, I remember with WDAM, so I was about to graduate. I think you just started. With Mitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, seeing
I was
if
out
I,
there freshman year, 1993.
Exactly.
I was driving out to Butchie, Mississippi.
Seeing if I could, you know, do the progression and go in there. But you started in sports. So I figure we can take a little stroll down memory lane. Cause to me, I would have to say, especially your time here in New Orleans, I mean, the Super Bowl. I mean, it's gotta be the greatest moment that you've ever covered.
I moved back in 2009. Absolutely. Yeah. I moved back in 2009 and lived across the street from where we are right now.
And me, Larry, several other people helped you do the crawfish boils.
Numerous crawfish boils. Travers Mackle was invited every year because he's a great crawfish boiler.
Yes.
And I was having the party. He was boiling the crawfish. Mm-hmm. Perfect, right?
Yeah.
I don't have to boil the crawfish. Who wants to really boil a crawfish? Some people like that.
Yeah.
I'd rather just eat it.
But it was funny because the very first one, all of us started up. We had been to many a crawfish boil. We know what goes into it, but none of us had really ever done their own
Travers
boil.
is a maestro with the crawfish. And that was in conjunction with the St. Patrick's parade that passes here on Metairie Road, which is always an interesting sight to behold every year. But what was the question?
The question was the Saints Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. Right. Moved back in 2009, and, I mean, as soon as I get back, the Saints jump out to a 13-0 start,
mm-hmm.
and then they lose three straight, and we're like, oh, here we go again. But 13-3, they make it to the Super Bowl, and I got to go to Miami and cover it. I mean, what perfect timing. My whole life I'm a Saints fan, and you're miserable with the Saints' losses and the way they lose over the years, and you deal with the highs of great wins and the lows that are the lowest of lows,
right.
And you have more lows than highs.
Mm-hmm.
And then I move back after being away for 16 years, and we go to the Super Bowl and get to cover it in Miami for a week.
Yeah, it's incredible, and I know the sports hangover started on January 10th of that year in 2010, so our first real coverage was the Super Bowl just a couple of weeks later. And Larry Holder and myself were coasting at the time. I mean, we were part of Channel 6's coverage. We met you out there where the Hard Rock area was. It was really cool.
Yeah, there was the Lingerie Bowl going on then.
It
was a lot of scenery.
Yeah, it was fun to cover as well. But I, to me, it's crazy because I still ask myself, would I have rather been here and seeing what it was like? Or being where we were in the stadium when it actually happened.
A little bit of me says, I wish I would have been here to see it, but 98.7% of me says I was in the right place.
How many of us can say confetti, right? I mean, did you keep any of the confetti?
I have.
Exactly. And you're looking up and there's Sean and there's the baby, you know, and there's Drew with the earmuffs. I mean, it's like.
Yeah. I have a leather NBC bag, like a little shoulder bag. And it was sitting on the field after the game while we did our live shots back to New Orleans. And it was sitting on top of confetti. Well, the ground was wet and dewy, and the confetti stuck to the bottom of this bag. So to this day, if I look at the bottom of the bag, there is little bits of color from the confetti on the bottom of that leather bag that stained it.
Yeah.
So it's my permanent remembrance of that. What I remember most of all, and what was the best, is, first of all, the night before the Super Bowl, I'm at the hotel. I take a call from my wife, pull my phone out of my pocket to answer it, lift it to my ear. The phone slips through my hands and goes into the water feature at this hotel lobby right behind
us.
So I see the lit up screen fall into the water and go black. I jump out of my seat. I mean, here it is. the night before the biggest game I've ever covered, ever been a part of, and I'm about to be like social media dark because I don't have a phone for during the game.
Right.
So I jump out of my seat, grab, there's like a human chain lifting me into, holding me out of this water that I was going to slip into at any moment. We get the phone, it's dead, put it in rice because that's what they said
that's
you did.
That's what they say, right?
Let it sit for a week, went the next morning to the AT&T store, the morning of the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Got a new iPhone. It was like full price because I wasn't eligible for an upgrade. Oh. But it didn't matter at that point because it was the Super Bowl. It's the day of the Super Bowl.
Right.
So I get the phone where everything's in good shape. And then 2 weeks later after I get back home, the phone starts working again. So
no
I had
kidding.
Another iPhone.
Wow.
But what I did with that phone that I went and bought that morning was we're coming down from the press box. You know, a few minutes left in the game. They take everybody down. Well, all the media is being herded into this one area, the little media holding area. And we all have these orange vests on.
Yep.
Well, there were photographers going onto the field wearing similar vests, and the media people in the orange vests going
the photographer.
So Fletcher and I were walking next to each other, and we're like, and Mike Haas from Channel 4 was with us too, and we see all these people going one way, and we're like, the gate's wide open, like the tunnel's wide open to the field. There's the field, nothing's between us and the field. So we said, let's just pretend like we get diverted and we're going the wrong way. So we walk towards the field, we're in our vests, Super Bowl, nobody stops us, walk right onto the field. And we're right there at the sideline, and I'm looking up at the monitor, the big screen, when Tracy Porter intercepts Peyton Manning. And I'm so oblivious and turned around to where I was at that moment, I'm watching the interception play out on the screen in front of me as Tracy Porter is running right past me. So as he runs to the end zone and scores, I look and I'm like, oh, that just happened
right
in front of me, and I was looking at the big screen.
Right.
And you can see Mike Haas in that video. We're not Fletcher and I aren't visible in the return, but you can see Mike Haas standing in the end zone as Tracy Porter comes right in his face and waves the football and points at the camera.
Yeah.
So that was the first part of when we got on the field. And then as soon as the clock ticked down to zero, I just had my iPhone in my hand, and I held it up, and I recorded – 8 minutes of the best video that I've ever shot.
Yeah.
And it's on my YouTube channel, Scott Walker TV. Just search for Saints Super Bowl and it'll come up.
Yeah.
But I let it roll for 8 minutes of us being roped inside. We were the only media that got roped inside the ropes. They typically keep all the local media out, and it's all the it's the players, it's the executives, it's the wives, and everybody in the ropes. Well, not only did we get on the field illegally, but we got inside the ropes illegally. And we had all these great interviews.
No, you had great.
We talked to Garrett Hartley, Jeremy Shockey. Sean Payton blew us off as he walked off the field. He wanted nothing to do with us, but I understood why. Reggie Bush was there, got a kiss from Kim Kardashian as we were talking to him. Roman Harper. I mean, every player that we want to talk to.
No, I mean, it's your dream.
Was right there.
I mean, it's the dream.
And so we had all these interviews to send back.
Right.
And nobody else locally got inside and got those interviews right then like we did in the midst of the confetti falling down.
Yeah.
And the trophy presentation, we were 20 feet away from it looking up at it. So that is the most memorable. And you can see all that stuff, all the interviews I just talked about as we're getting them. So I was holding my iPhone up above my head while we're doing it.
That's incredible. Speaking with Scott Walker, one of the owners of Shipley's Donuts, Old Metairie, bidding farewell to his anchor days here at WDSU just recently. What was that like in terms of like, cause me, I've thought about it too a lot of times. Do I ever move from this? Do I do something else? Even if you go be a program director some days, maybe do you not do a daily show and stuff? I miss the daily, every day is different, being creative, challenge aspect of trying to make something happen. And it's the same thing. I started in television. Mm-hmm. I thought that's where I was going to go. I never, my wildest dreams, thought I'd be a radio talk show host. I thought I would be sports anchor.
Well, you have a great face for
reporter. Well, there you go. So, you know, it wound up being the right decision. But, I mean, the thing is, I look at it and go, I think I might miss that. Yet at the same time, I could understand maybe trying to take – it is scary just even thinking about it.
It is.
And how long did it take you to decide you're walking away?
I think I knew for about 18 months before my contract ended that this is what I wanted to do. I had thought about it for a little while. It just lost some of the fun for me. It was nothing against anybody I worked with, the TV station I worked for. I have nothing but positive things to say about WDSU and Hearst Television. Great ownership group. In today's TV climate, to work for a company like Hearst is unparalleled. I mean, they're about as good as it gets in the TV business right now. So it was nothing against them, no indictment on anybody that I worked with or worked for. It was about me, and it was about me not having fun anymore and knowing that life is short. You only get one shot at this thing. My kids are 12 and 8. You only get kids once at that age. And I knew if I got locked into another three-year contract that all of a sudden my 12-year-old is 15, my 8-year-old is going on 12, and the other one's going on 16. And it's I've missed that much more. And I felt like I needed to take control of my schedule and what I wanted to do. So it wasn't an easy decision by any means because I had to make sure my ducks were in a row. It's tough to walk away from a job like that and just kind of take that leap and jump into something new. And I think I set myself up pretty well, and it's been really good so far. I'm happy with the way things are going, and I just look forward to being able to expand down the road and see which direction – because I've kind of cast a wide net with what I'm doing. I'll miss it. I haven't – I mean, I think maybe I'll miss it, the day-to-day stuff, right, at some point. But – and I'm not closing the door on TV forever. I think local news I'm pretty confidently finished with, but the other stuff, day-to-day local news, I think I have – that's run its course,
right,
in my life.
No, I hear you. See, I wouldn't mind doing, like, news program show or something of that nature. I do like talking about politics, a lot of different things, and like, I wouldn't mind something of that nature, especially on TV. But
and I never slam the door on anything. I've learned to never say never. But right now, this is the best thing I could have done for my life.
It's not bad. You get to hang around donuts all day and consult with athletes, schools, and different groups as well in ScottWalkerConsulting.com. It's about social media, and you just I saw what this week, Greg Bensel of the Saints and Pelicans.
Yeah, we're going to do.
Communications VP over there saying, hey, they're going to use you guys to make sure that Anthony Davis doesn't tweet anything bad.
And I think Anthony Davis pretty much has his –
he's got his team.
Has his stuff in order. Mm-hmm. But it's just – it's more of a, I think, a wake-up call before a mistake is made rather than looking at mistakes that they've made. Because most of these guys are in a pretty good spot with their social media, but it never hurts to reinforce what's wrong, why it's wrong, and what kind of – bad things can happen when you go down the wrong path and how it can affect contracts and endorsements and your career and in college athletes, their scholarships, their enrollment in school, in elementary school kids, middle school kids, they could be suspended from school. They could be expelled. It starts at a young age. Like I mentioned to you earlier, they're not getting the education they need early in life, social media wise, and then it affects them later in life.
No, no doubt about it for sure. Before we wrap up here, I kind of just want to do a quick rapid fire sort of thing from your time over here at DSU.
Uh-huh.
So you ready?
Yep.
All right. So I asked you about your greatest sports moment there. What was the most difficult story you had to cover?
Difficult story, I would say the BP oil spill, not from a like sweating and I mean, it was hot in Grand Isle, but not that kind of, not that kind of where it was really difficult. I think emotionally for a lot of the people in Grand Isle, I got really close to a lot of the people in Grand Isle because we covered some of the same people and we followed them over a period of time. But that was right after the Saints won the Super Bowl. So within the first 6 months of me getting here, the Saints win the Super Bowl, we cover that, and the greatest man-made disaster in history just about happens in the Gulf of Mexico right off our doorstep. So it was a long process to be there and to cover all that, but we did a lot of great work from there. We did a lot of broadcasts from Grand Isle. We did an entire, it must have been almost 2 weeks during the beginning of the oil spill. We came back for the 1 year anniversary, the 2 year anniversary, put a lot of resources into it. And just to get, I got a whole new love for Grand Isle. You know, I knew about it growing up. I knew what it was, that it's a barrier island and there are camps there and there are fishermen.
We've known about it and seen it all the time, especially during storms, right?
And remember when
somebody
we were growing up?
Somebody always goes to Grand Isle.
Andy Valance, the mayor, when we were growing up, was always on TV talking about evacuating when a storm came.
Exactly.
And that's what I knew about Grand Isle.
Me
but
too.
Then, when I got to know those people and see what they were all about and how hard they worked and how much they loved that community and what the oil spill did to them personally, you just connected you with the story more than other stories that you might do. And some of the most rewarding work that I did besides that was the work that I did with Team Gleason and Steve Gleason, where we went to Park City, Utah on the Sundance Film Festival and followed him to the premiere of his film, Gleason, that premiered there and got worldwide acclaim. Should have gotten an Oscar. They were in the conversation but didn't quite make it. But just to do that kind of stuff with him and to see how he operates every day and see how difficult it is for him and how he never is feeling sorry for himself or loses hope in himself or his mission and is constantly positive.
Right.
Just really inspiring to see and that we could have just a little part telling his story in a little bit of a different way was really rewarding. I look at that as the thing I'm most proud of in my career.
Obviously, I think being New Orleanians, there's good and there's bad. You know, there's certain things. I would say, you know, like there's the crime stuff, but then you see a lot of the things that just uniquely us if we go moving. You've lived in different cities, right? So what's the one thing that you would say, even while covering it, but coming back, that you think maybe we don't appreciate as much as New Orleanians?
Food? Is that really too cliche and generic? I lived in Orlando, and it was a great place to be, but they had a couple of New Orleans knockoff restaurants there that people tried to, and sometimes it was people from New Orleans who opened up a place in Orlando that copied the food. Everybody wants to copy our food, and it's often imitated, rarely duplicated, right? And I think that's what you get when you go to different cities that don't really have a food culture or as much of a food culture. It's just not the same. You expect all this great food everywhere you go, and you don't always get it. But I think the people make up this place and how friendly everybody is generally, unless you're in traffic with them sometimes and you cut them off and go the wrong way. But in most cases, everybody here is friendly and accommodating and welcoming, and that goes a long way. You don't find that same friendliness in other places. And I use Orlando as an example again, because that's a largely transient town. Yeah. People are in and out,
no doubt.
A lot of tourists, and it's just hard to feel like it's home, because it's so many different types of people in and out. And we were happy there for 2 years, and it was a fun place to work. We were 30 minutes from Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as far as like a long-term home, this is home. This is where I grew up, and we got the opportunity to come back, and I think we made the most of it.
Will you ever not...
Is that supposed to be rapid fire?
No,
that was kind of a long answer.
No, that's fine. Well, it's just like
I should
have
just said food.
No, it's fine. Storm coverage.
I'll be faster.
When I was with Channel 26, it was, you know, months before hurricane season, you have the meetings and everybody has that bag that's in their car that has their weather gear and all of that stuff. Who's on the P row? You know, who's going on the show? Did you ever want to be, or did you enjoy the old, the shot, you know, where... Never wanted to be the guy in Grand Isle where the winds are really whipping up. Now they're 100 miles. No,
that never really floated my boat.
No, you didn't want to hold the wind meter.
That never floated my boat. But what I always had to deal with, it seemed like I was always on air during landfalling hurricanes, which means you're not getting anything.
Right.
Because it seems like most of the time it's overnight when it's dark. And when it's landfalling, your reporters are not getting anything because they're in a safe spot because the hurricane's making landfall. So you might get some phoners, you might get some different things, and social media has really blossomed. I think Hurricane Isaac was the first one that social media really blew up for here, but I mean, imagine what Katrina would have been like if people stuck in their homes and stuck in their attics and on their rooftops if they had phones, and how much more of a complete record we'd have of that time because of what the phones bring
to you. Scott, because of that, upgrades to cell service and towers and what became more important, because that was part of the problem, that communications went to, you know, and no one could get in touch with anybody.
I remember I was working in Mobile when Hurricane Katrina made landfall, and I have an aunt who lives down in Plaquemines Parish, and my family had evacuated. But just to text to them, that was before all the other stuff we do, just trying to get a text through was tough. And it's come so far, but again, we haven't, in the social media age since Katrina, here we haven't been tested to a great extent. Hurricane Isaac was a minor hurricane. I mean, there was a lot of damage around, and Plaquemines Parish was hit pretty hard. But in general, that wasn't much of a hurricane when it came to testing our strength and our resources and what we can do if tested again. But the next time something big comes through and everybody's got their phones, it's going to be something to see, because you'll see a lot more than you did. Even if you can't get it out, if social media networks are down, people are still going to record the video, and you'll have that ability to do what you couldn't do in 2005.
All right, as we wrap up here.
That was a long answer.
No, that's fine. I got the 3 o'clock. The questions everybody wants to know. Better hair, Travers or Fletcher?
Scott.
Yeah, I agree. Is Margaret as nice as she seems?
Absolutely. Everybody
she
loves
really
Margaret.
Is. I mean, I can't like picture her ever like getting angry. You know what I'm saying?
I don't remember many of those instances.
Right.
If any.
Exactly. All right. Well, thanks for having us here.
No more Mackle questions?
We could.
I could go Mackle question all day.
We could go Mackle question all day. Fantastic. How can folks follow Shipley's in Ole Metairie on social media?
Twitter, at ShipleyOM. Shipley Donuts OM, sorry. Mm-hmm. At Shipley Ole Metairie on Instagram and Facebook.
Right. And if they want your services.
At ScottWalker6 on Twitter, ScottWalkerConsulting.com, ScottWalker Consulting on ScottWalker TV on Instagram. I just changed some stuff. I can't even remember.
Just Google Scott Walker.
And you'll get the Wisconsin governor.
Exactly. The one that's not the governor is the Scott we're talking to.
You can find me.
Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, for sure. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Bottom of the hour as well. We'll talk a little wrestling in our wrestling segment as we normally do. A pay-per-view on Sunday. Plus, we'll recap some of the top stories in and around the day. LSU, the quarterback's going bye-bye Matt Moscona. And after further review at the top of the hour, we'll have plenty on that. And then also the Saints injury from earlier today. Defensive end Alex Okafor going down at practice. We'll have more on the Sports Hangover. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.
Since 1948, that's 70 years, Alario Brothers has been in the commercial shrimping and fishing supply business. They stock a large selection of 12-volt electrical and hydraulic single and double drum winches, hydraulic motors with brakes, beltless clutches, and pumps with brackets. They also carry hydraulic stainless steel skimmer winches, hydraulic valves, super winches, and hydraulic steering for up to 65-foot boats. They have a huge assortment of crab traps and crab trap wire. They stock nylon, plastic, and knotless webbing. You've heard about the new webbing, Platina and Knotless Dyneema. Alario Brothers has some of that too. And they stock four different sizes of galvanized stabilizers. They also stock a large variety of fiberglass cloth, including resin, gel coat, and supplies needed for fiberglassing. Lost an anchor? Alario Brothers stocks anchors from 5 to 100 pounds. Come visit Alario Brothers before the season starts. That's Alario Brothers at 894 Avenue A, West Ligo, 504-341-1843, and visit their website at alariobrothers.com.
If pests are pestering you, call the experts at Terminix. They'll rid your home or business of disease-carrying rats, mice, roaches, spiders, even crazy ants. Call your local pest control experts at Terminix for a free inspection. Terminix also offers home insulation. In La Rose, call 693-3152. That's 693-3152. 693-3152. Terminix, power over pests.
Is pain putting a strain on your quality of life? Don't suffer in silence. Get relief at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Dr. Luis Hernandez and Dr. Keith Duplantis can provide solutions to neck, knee, and back pain, as well as pain associated with injury, arthritis, nerve damage, and migraines. Get help for your pain at the Pain Center of Thibodaux Regional. Call today, 985-493-4080, or go to Thibodaux.com.
To give batters a different look, pitchers throw a changeup.
Your idea of a different look is sunglasses.
That's true. But La Quinta Inns and Suites is really taking the different look thing to a new level.
Definitely a major league makeover, starting with a bolder, brighter lobby full of comfortable spaces to let you settle in.
Or chill out in front of a big flat screen like Wingo would.
Oh, you know it. It's a changing La Quinta look to help you get in the zone and look sharp when you hit that big meeting.
Prepare to win at business with La Quinta Inns and Suites.
Book now at LQU.com.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
We'll see.
That is head coach Sean Payton saying, we'll see. And the question was, will we see quarterback Drew Brees play in the game on Friday? That's all he gave you. That's all you really need. I think we might see him for a series or two. Sports Hangover back at Shipley's Donuts. 2561 Metairie Road. 100% locally owned as well. Come by and check them out. And don't forget, August 31st on a Friday, you will see. Off the bench, Jordy Collard and T-Bob Hebert will be right where we are located doing their show live from 7 to 9. The guys had Lowell Narcisse on earlier today. No doubt Matt Moscone, after further review, will have the latest on he and Justin McMillan deciding to leave LSU. Who will get Lowell Narcisse next year? He's going to go to a junior college, he said this morning. And then next year, he will go somewhere else. He'll decide in January where he's going to go. The Saints had their practice today, as you just heard Sean Payton kind of touch on whether or not Drew Brees was going to play or not. Defensive end Marcus Davenport was present at practice. Cameron Meredith practiced fully. Good to go there. But Alex Okafor, lots of questions as to how injured is he. He went down with a leg injury per the reports on Twitter. Now, remember, it's a closed practice. So there's no videos, no pictures. And reporters can only be so descriptive per Sean Payton. So it's a leg injury. And they describe the scene as players taking a knee and either praying or just observing as Okafor was being attended to. Remember, he's coming back from a ruptured Achilles. Now, WWL Radio, the station of the New Orleans Saints, only people that I've seen on Twitter say that he did not need a cart to leave the field and walked off under his own power. So, again, that's kind of something, if I'm a Saints fan, I probably want to know. I mean, was he carted off Now, no one is reporting what they looked at on the leg. Is it a foot? Is it a knee? Is it a hip? Is it a leg? Quad? Calf? I don't know. I mean, it's just a leg injury. It's all I have. That's all that's being reported out there. So we'll see if that happens. That's Jordan the intern. Are you about to nap? How many donuts did you have today, by the way? Because you have taken Scott Walker's...
I told you yesterday that donuts make me sluggish for the rest
of
the day.
You did, and I made fun of you. I'm seeing it in person.
I'm so tired right
now. Well, you've had a kolache. You've had a bear claw.
I had one of those cinnamon rolls.
A cinnamon roll.
I'm going to say that's it.
Yeah. Seems like you've eaten a lot more. Exactly. I'm telling you, he is struggling to keep those eyelids open. Anyway, we'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk a little wrestling with Paul Boron. As the pay-per-view is coming up on Sundays, the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Training Camp report is sponsored by New Orleans Harley-Davidson, the biggest selection of Harleys in the South, located at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
The battle for the second main running back heats up this week with preseason game number 2. Last week at Jacksonville, running back Jonathan Williams scored a touchdown.
Pretty good performance. You know, I'm never comfortable. You know, it was only 4 carries. It's nothing to get too excited about. You know, it was just a couple carries. So I'm looking forward to more opportunity, you know, keep this thing going.
Head coach Sean Payton has been impressed with the progress Williams has shown.
He's been doing well. Yeah, I thought he played good in his snaps that he had the other night. He's a smart runner. He's got good patience and vision.
Williams didn't let the fact that the team signed Terrence Weston Shane Vereen to the group bother him.
I mean, that's what it is in the NFL. You know, it's always a competition. Every day you come out here, you're competing. So when they brought those guys in, it's not that it hurt my feelings or anything. I was already going to be working as hard as I could anyway.
Quarterback Drew Brees says there is one trait Williams has improved on, and it's an important one.
He's run the ball extremely well, but I think more so than that, he stuck his nose in there in pass protection better than anybody I've seen in a while. You know, like, he really takes pride in that.
I'm Gus Kattengill. For more on the Saints, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans.
This Black and Gold Training Camp report has been brought to you by New Orleans Harley-Davidson. The greatest bikes in the world are right here in your backyard at 6015 Airline Drive in Metairie.
This is Gus Kattengill inviting you to stop in at New Orleans Harley-Davidson across the street from where training camp's going on Airline Drive. And if you are interested in learning how to ride, New Orleans Harley-Davidson's Riding Academy has the best rider training in Louisiana. Mention my name, Gus, and you'll receive $100 in store credit when you pass the class. And on Saturdays, they always have the grill out. Burgers, dogs, brats, you name it. You know I love to grill, so stop on by. Get in now to New Orleans Harley-Davidson on Airline Drive.
New Friend Building Materials is proud to announce that our 4th annual fishing rodeo will be held at Bridgeside Marina in Grand Isle, August 17th and 18th. Tickets are $10 and can be purchased at Bridgeside or at any of our 4 locations, which include Cutoff, Thibodeau, Bell Chase, and Slidell. We'll have youth and adult divisions with K2 coolers to compete for on the adult side. Scales open at 4 p.m. Friday and close at 4 p.m. Saturday, which is when all the food, music, and fun starts and will include both a silent and live auction. So join us for a good time while helping give back to charities like New Life Counseling Center, Austin Abadi, and a local family in Grand Isle.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake. We'll be there each and every Thursday with the ESPN Thursday Lunch Club. Stop on by. My suggestion, try the Italian chicken wrap. Jordan will try a burger more than likely.
I gotta try a burger everywhere I go. That's my goal in life.
Your goal in life is to try to eat a burger without bacon.
No, everywhere I go.
I'll probably start turning it a little closer towards the Cardinals-Saints game. Maybe we'll know a little bit more about Alex Okafor as well. As we do each and every Wednesday, we talk a little wrestling. Bottom of the third hour. Pay-per-view is coming up on Sunday. Paul Boron joins us to talk a little bit about that, as well as the wrestling was not too bad on Monday and Tuesday. Paul, how you doing today, bud?
I'm great, Gus. I'm in the car on my way over to LSU. And, ready to talk a little wrestling.
Ah, that's right. Coach O set to meet with the media. Something tells me, Paul, you're probably going to hear a few questions about the quarterbacks that decided to LSU today.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think any of that was a surprise. I mean, you know, right. I think they tried to play the balancing act of how can we keep all four happy and all that, but you knew, you know, once it came down to it, people were going to want to get out of there and seeing their writing on the wall.
All right, let's do it. Sunday, SummerSlam. Before then, Monday and Tuesday, Raw and SmackDown. Where do we begin on Monday? Paul, it was kind of an action-packed Monday, especially considering it was the week of a pay-per-view. Do we start with the ladies? We saw Ronda Rousey out there, Alexa Bliss, setting up another match soon.
Yeah, I think this match is pretty intriguing. They've done the groundwork on it, and everybody feels like Ronda's going to win, but I wouldn't be surprised if Alexa pulls some sort of chicanery and manages to hold on.
Be interesting if that takes place. Again, she draws a lot, Alexa Bliss as well. And I know you and I in the past have kind of talked about where does the Ronda Rousey storyline sort of go. If she doesn't win the title on Saturday, you think it's still just the build-up? I still think eventually it's her and Charlotte Flair in WrestleMania.
Yeah, it would seem like that would be the money match. I mean, that's the one everybody would want to see. Because Charlotte, to me, no doubt, is the best female wrestler probably in the world, but definitely in the WWE. And, put her and Ronda, I don't think Vince would ever let a women's match headline WrestleMania as much as they've progressed, but that would be as close to a headlining main event as you could have Charlotte versus Ronda Rousey. So,
Here at WrestleMania, Paul, Asuka and Charlotte, right after that match, people were saying if there's ever going to be a headliner, and especially with the way it ended last year, I could see that happening. And look, she was a draw. The crowd was buzzing. Again, I just remember from being there and when Rousey was in there and when Charlotte was in there as well, I could totally see, especially if Roman Reigns is holding a belt, that I probably would end with that. We'll get into that here in a quick second because, again, shockingly, Brock Lesnar could say, watch out, Paul. Jordan the intern may mace you the next time he sees you around here. I loved the promo and everything that took place there with Paul Heyman. I thought this was it. This was the turn that's been rumored that he's going to start advocating for Roman Reigns. And Roman was giving him the business. And then there it is, the dirty trick, mace in the eyes of Roman Reigns before Brock the Beast walks out and hurts him a little.
Yeah, I mean, Paul Heyman showed why the last 2 weeks he is the best in the business and has been for a long time. The interview last week with Renee. Now, he's either the best actor ever with those crocodile tears, or before they went on camera, he rubbed some hot pepper in his eyes or something. But and then to follow it up with the chicanery this week, which, by the way, I've now used chicanery twice, so.
There you go.
He's just awesome. He's so good. And you know, I wish he represented a couple of wrestlers, to be honest. Because he should be in every show, you know, Raw and SmackDown, because he's that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. And so that'll be interesting to see if Roman Reigns actually wins the title from Brock Lesnar. Your guess? What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's time. I think, you know, everybody suspects that Brock is stepping away for a while. He's only contracted for a couple more appearances right now, is my understanding. So, and at some point, as much fun as it's been that Brock keeps beating Roman, at some point Roman is going to beat Brock. So you would think this is going to be the time. And, hopefully it's a match more like, the WrestleMania in the Santa Clara a few years ago, which was a great match, a really underrated match. Kelsey actually did a ratings of all of their matchups, even some of the Fatal Four Ways and stuff. And, you know, we went back and watched that match. It was so good, and it was really the beginning of Suplex City and all that stuff. So hopefully maybe they can capture that again.
Yeah, we'll see if that takes place or not. The battle for the briefcase, we were texting earlier this morning, Ron Strowman is going to defend that case and the Money in the Bank case against Kevin Owens, who can win it outright. You know my theory on this, right? Reigns wins. It's a brutal match. The crowd's booing. He's kind of, there he is. He's holding the belt, and then you hear, Braun, here comes Strowman, who hits him with the Money in the Bank case, takes the title.
And the sellout crowd at Barclays Center would lose their minds. They'd be so happy. So I would love for that scenario to play out. It's certainly not out of the realm of possibility, that's for sure.
All right, and then yesterday I thought a pretty decent show as well when you take a look at it. Speaking of Charlotte Flair, you look at the triple threat match. Why do I have a feeling maybe do you push Becky Lynch on this one? Maybe even if it's a brief, kind of stay at the top. I don't know. Do you think Becky Lynch can win?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's via some heel tactics. They've kind of positioned her as not being real happy the last couple weeks because Charlotte's in the match. And I wouldn't be surprised if maybe she turns heel and does something to keep Charlotte from winning the belt, or does so to win the belt herself.
There you go. And then, of course, Shinsuke. I felt about this. I told you, give me Shinsuke AJ every week. You can't do it every week when you get to AJ in a quick sec. But do you think the Shinsuke match can be fun to watch as well?
I do. I really think there are a lot of good matches beyond the headlining matches. And Shinsuke and Jeff Hardy is one that really excites me. And, whether we'll see Randy Orton, I think that's probably a given in some capacity, interjecting there. But because he's not in a match at all, as far as I know. So you got to think he's going to somehow poke his nose into that match somehow.
Yeah, well, the fact that they showed him peeking behind the wall yesterday, I thought he was either going to attack Hardy or he was going to come in. So, it wouldn't surprise me if you saw that already coming in. It'll be interesting to see if that takes place. But look, I love Samoa Joe. I love when he was going after Roman Reigns. I loved when he was in, when it was him, Reigns, Braun, and Brock. I love Samoa Joe. He's a perfect villain. And this is, it's weird because it's personal, almost sounding like the storyline of, AJ Styles' wife writing a letter to him saying that he doesn't care about his family. And I'm like, whoa, he's almost towing that line there. But man, and I love it. It's like, it's almost insinuating your wife's, talking to me a lot. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I don't know, because it might be a good match when those two go at it.
But on the flip side, who's still writing letters?
I didn't even think about that last night when he says, I have a letter from your wife. You're right. She would have texted him,
Yeah, you would think. I love Samoa Joe. I've told you that a few months ago. He is one of my favorites, and these two have had a great history. I didn't watch a lot of TNA wrestling, but when these two got together, they had some great matches. So I think it's really going to be a great match because you really have two of the premier guys in the business, and I think it makes for a terrific match, and I think AJ may end up dropping the belt. We'll see.
Oh, you heard it here first. P. Boron, 88, the way to follow. Paul Boron on his way to LSU to be part of that coverage for CST as, of course, Coach O going to be talking a little bit about the quarterback situation. Obviously, his team getting ready for another scrimmage. Paul, as always, man, we appreciate when you join us on Wednesdays. Be safe coming there, going there and back, bud.
My pleasure, and make sure you check out our podcast this week, Wrestling Talk at Two-Face Pod. We'll dive into all sorts of SummerSlam goodness, including looking at some the top five SummerSlams of all time.
Ooh, there you go. Awesome. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Gus.
Yep, there he goes. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. Jordan, the intern, you made it. You only got one segment left before you can take it. Well, no, you got to drive back to the North Shore. Then you can take your nap. Did you just give me the finger? I was actually worried about your well-being, and you gave me the finger. You're the one that ate the donuts, not me.
No, you forced me.
I didn't force you nothing. Sports Hangover wraps it up next on ESPN New Orleans.
cigar smoking is all about the flavor. And at Havana Port Cigar Merchants, their certified experts will recommend the perfect blend and size for your personal enjoyment. Browse their over 2,000 premium cigar brands and unique accessories. And try Havana Port's preseason football sampler pack for $19.95. That's three premium cigars for only $19.95. Havana Port Cigar Merchants in Metairie and Baton Rouge. Learn more at HavanaPort.com. An exclusive appointed merchant of Davidoff. HavanaPort.com.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Megan here with Vision Communications. As you may have heard, we recently increased the speed of our internet service. Vision offers 5 levels of service so you can match the speed and value right for your family. Now's a good time to review your internet service. Most people are using more and more bandwidth and finding that upgrading really makes a difference. Give us a call at 798-7956 to get more speed for your internet experience. Vision Communications, dedicated to bringing you a better vision and faster internet.
Terrio, Douay, and Terrio, more than just an insurance company, they're marine insurance specialists. Whether it's fishing boats, cabin cruisers, sailboats, or marine industry, you can trust Terrio, Douay, and Terrio to get you the coverage you need at a price you deserve for your home, your auto, life, fire, and health. They've been taking care of people since 1957. Call Terrio, Douay, and Terrio at 475-5126. Just ask for Lynn Pierce or David O. along Bayou Lafourche in Golden Meadow.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be live at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive over in Metairie. Friday, Deuce McAllister's Old Saint Kitchen and Tap. Saturday, Jordan Intern, A Chance for Redemption.
Harley Davidson.
Judging by the fact that you were sluggish today, do not eat breakfast or have donuts. You're right. By Saturday.
Yeah.
High noon will be there, 12 to 2. Call by for the football toss. If you're a Saints fan that has tickets to the Saturday practice, the last open practice of training camp, if you can believe it, it's it. No more open practices. It is Saturday, and it's 4 to 5.30 because obviously on Friday night they have a game, so they're not going to practice at 8 o'clock in the morning. So before you head on out there, come over to New Orleans, Harley-Davidson. We'll probably stay till 3, you know, probably a little later than that because we get closer. I'm not going anywhere. I got to go across the street to practice. So, I mean, we'll be there. Come do the football toss. Come have some fun. Free burgers, free chicken, free sausage.
Wait, what time does practice start Saturday?
I just told you. Did you not hear me?
No.
You're right next to me. You have a headset on.
I'm telling you. It's these donuts,
you
man.
You are absolutely zoned out. 4 to 5.30. What's the face for? What?
I don't know, guys.
Well, it's a long day. 12 to 5.30. That's what you got to do. Got to be at Harley with me. Then you got to go to practice. That's how it works. Hey, you chose this operation, not me. You chose to do this. Now look, I mean, this is what I do. It's what we do. Will you lose to a Harley Angel this
no.
week? John Forcade isn't going to be in town, so
I can't lose.
He was out
to
of
John
town
Forcade.
Last weekend. Well, I mean, if you lose to a Hall of Famer, New Orleans Sports Hall of Famer, John Forcade, former Saints quarterback,
but that's
Ole Miss,
way
Shaw
I can
quarterback.
Myself.
I mean, he's, you know, made a name playing quarterback. So if you lose to him, no big deal. You lose to Harley Angel for a second straight week, you may hear it on Monday. Just saying. Head coach Sean Payton did not reference to what happened. And again, you don't know what happened to Alex Okafor. He went down with a leg injury. Defensive end Marcus Davenport was back on the field though today, as was Cameron Meredith. So at least, two Saints got healthy. Other tidbits that we've been talking about, Jalen Ramsey. He is the corner for Jacksonville. Remember, he's been suspended until Monday. Doesn't mean that he can't talk. In an interview with GQ, he went through a list of quarterbacks, Jordan, and he talked about, in a word or two, what he thinks of all the cornerbacks. Josh Allen said he's trash. Baker Mayfield gets how he was the top pick. Joe Flacco, he sucks. Aaron Rodgers doesn't suck. Tom Brady doesn't suck. Tyrod Taylor, underrated. Marcus Mariota, good game manager. Garoppolo, guess he's good.
Okay.
Right? Watson, he's going to be an MVP.
Wow.
Deshaun Watson. Carson Wentz will be an MVP.
Wow.
Jared Goff, average to above average. Dak Prescott, ready for this, Marlin favorite? He's okay.
I agree with him.
Yeah. Cousins, not DeMarcus, but Kirk. He's a winner. Saints will face him. Russell Wilson, he good. Ben Roethlisberger, decent at best.
Ooh.
Wow. Eli Manning, Odell makes him.
Wow.
Jeez. The two-time Super Bowl MVP. Odell makes him. Okay. Blake Bortles. Blake, do what he gotta do.
He's on some happy pills.
Nick Foles, good enough to win a Super Bowl. Drew Brees, really good. Andrew Luck, don't think he's good.
Wow.
Matthew Stafford, he's straight. Tannehill, haven't heard good things. And Matt Ryan, noodle on.
Overrated. I agree.
So Jalen Ramsey going through the gambit of quarterbacks there. There you go. There you go. What do you think of that?
Great observation. Some of them were a little wacky. Some of them were spot on.
Yeah. Spot on, huh? We're noodling.
Said some of them were spot on. Okay. Some of them were a little wacky.
Did he mention Cam Newton? Did I miss Newton? He didn't mention him. He was an ass. He was the only quarterback he didn't say anything about?
I guess he's a bum.
Oh, that would have been good, huh?
Bum.
Cam Newton.
Bum. All caps.
Yeah, I don't see him.
I don't know if you're looking hard enough.
Do you see it? Do you see?
Count them up.
Why don't you count it out? Well, I'll do another story. How about that?
Okay.
That makes sense? Top of the hour, it'll be Matt Moscona. You'll have the very latest on Lowell Narcisse, Justin McMillan. Probably excerpts from the interview. He may probably get Justin. Since off the bench had Lowell Narcisse earlier this morning. And one of the other things I did want to touch on before I run out of time, and we touched on it when Brian Annalise was here for a little bit. Adam Silver, the NBA commissioner, says the NBA is interested in playing a preseason game in Mumbai. You know where Mumbai is?
India.
India. The NBA has played preseason and regular season games in various other countries in Asia, but never in India. And he's thinking about doing that. Again, the NBA just growing, growing, and growing. The league recently held the third edition of the NBA Africa game in South Africa, an exhibition game that coincides with the week of service and basketball in the country. And they want to add. Now, the league has held preseason and regular season games in Japan, Taipei, the Philippines, and China. Now they're thinking about maybe doing it in India as well. And, look, I guess it's, I've been saying, they're just absolutely global, and it can grow and it can continue to grow. Hey, speaking of growing, stop on by and come check out this 100% locally owned Shipley's Donuts here in Old Metairie, 2561 Metairie Road here in Old Metairie, basically LaBar and Metairie Road between Bonneville and Causeway. You gotta try their donuts. The Colossi's are what really, I mean, kind of separates them, right?
I'm about to get another one.
The Boudin Colossi's, unique to Louisiana Shipley's. It is. It's what it is. It's authentic Boudin from Lafayette that they make into a Colossi. It's ridiculous. Hot glazed donuts every morning and on Friday, August 31st, off the bench with Jordy Collada and T-Bob Hebert will do their show live from 7 to 9 right here. But coming up next, it's Matt Moscona. And after further review on ESPN New Orleans.